The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
No argument.
The Green Bay Packers
were the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close.
Kyle, you're not feeling this. You're...
Well, Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Oh, right away we go on a Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. I got a text from Kyle Wallace this morning that said, "Why is it snowing?" Got a text from Craig Karmazin this morning saying that he was stranded on his way here. So Craig is still going to join us, I think, at some point, as he, I think, is back at home. What a morning. We will discuss the idea of it snowing. We will discuss the idea of if Craig Karmazin should get the pass on doing the show at home today, or could he have found an alternate route to get to the studio this morning for Sunday Karma. Nice of him to be here, though, on Selection Sunday. I'm proud of Craig. Big Badgers were yesterday. They get ready for the Big Ten championship game against Michigan today. The Bucks hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder, the top team in the Western Conference. Huge day in hoops here in the state of Wisconsin. Sunday Karma with you, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. I'm Alex Stroph with you from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Snowy downtown Milwaukee. Kyle Wallace running the show as always. Chrissy Birdsall holding it down for us at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Kyle, we got Craig or not? Should I keep stalling? What do you want me to do here, pal?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to work things out here. You know, Craig jumped on at 57. We're
yeah, you know, it's funny. Yo, 57 is way too much credit. It was 10-1.5, and the best part is Craig led a company-wide call last week, Kyle, and talked about how he never shows up late anymore when he does a show. So we're going to have him over the phone is what it looks like to me. Craig Karmazin joins us via the cell phone now on Sunday Karma. Craig, what happened? Why aren't you here?
Well, you were describing it, but first of all, I never said on that company-wide call that I am never late anymore. So that certainly was not something I would have said.
Okay.
But I also, if we had a great producer, this wouldn't have happened. Like that, we've said Kyle's a bad producer. And he's a great host. He's a bad producer. We know this to be true.
What was that laugh, Kyle?
He's right.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the case. All right, so what happened on your
way? I texted 25 minutes ago saying, here's the deal. Like, there's down trees on my road. I can't get out of my road. Is there an alternate way that's possible? Yeah, I could walk up the hill and I could Uber from there. I would get there 25 minutes late based on how close Ubers would be here. That I could have walked past the trees and Ubered from there. It would have been about 35 minutes.
Wait, so is this the only street that's accessible from your house?
Yes, I live in it's one road down to where I live, and you can only get out via one road, or you could walk. So I could walk out, and it would be possible. And had I known it was down, I could have done it a few, you know, I could have left 40 minutes in advance, and I could have been all good. I had no idea until I was driving to work this morning that there was a tree down.
Okay.
And, you know, as much as WTMJ, Time Saver Traffic, you know, updates all the major roads, they don't update my road. So they did not. I did not know that there was a tree down on my road.
Sounds like excuses to me.
Yeah, Kyle, you could have picked him up, right?
Yeah, if he would have told me, I would have picked him up. I definitely would have picked him up. You know, I had.
Yeah. But as I said, I didn't plan like an hour in advance. If I had known this was an issue,
here's my issue.
Hold on.
Everybody, slow down for a minute. All right.
Hold on.
All right. So I accepted the offer to join the show about 3 months ago. I have shown up to 95% of the shows. I missed one. Now, when I joined the show, I viewed it as like, oh, I get to work with a bunch of really hardworking individuals, guys I really respect, guys that are going to respect the show. You know, like, it's going to be a good way to start my Sunday mornings. Now, Craig, I get your business.
Oh, yeah, that was a total fallacy to go in with that kind of attitude.
Well, yeah, that's fair, but you should appreciate that I had that attitude from the get-go. It's ruined 3 months later.
Never meet your idols.
So, never meet your heroes. I learned that when I met Ben Brust. Now, Craig, I got your text message about, what'd you say, 20, 25 minutes before the show, 9:35, 9:40-ish?
Yeah.
So I was here. I was, of course, the only one here, but I was here. So I said, okay, we'll get it nice and set up for Craig. I'll send it over. And then when Kyle gets here, I will go ahead and let him know what's going on. So 9:55 rolls around, and Kyle walks in the door. Craig doesn't connect until 10:01 and a half. I mean, what kind of operation are we running around here? We got to clean it up.
I mean, I think you know. I know it's a reflection of me and my poor leadership, and that I allow someone like Kyle to be the producer of this show. Like, I mean, I have not had
this is
the
biggest
to just
spin.
Remove him.
This is
and
the
say
biggest
Alex
spin.
Should be the producer.
This is the biggest spin since the election in 2024. I'll tell you this right now. This is the biggest spin. You mean to tell me Craig gets an email from you at what time, Strofe?
I sent the email about 9:50.
You sent an email at 9:53 to join on.
That's 7 minutes. That's plenty of time to fix connections.
To join in, and he gets an email, and he thumbs up, saying, hey, we'll send it over on vMix. Roles were rough, and he thumbs up, and he doesn't connect to 10 o'clock, and he's spinning it on us? He's putting this on us?
Well, I think it's everybody's fault. I think it's everybody's fault from Craig.
I'm putting it on me for having you as the producer of the show, Kyle.
At 9:30,
it is my fault.
At 9:38, the first thing you should have said is, hey, I can't make it. How do I connect? What do you guys need me to do? I have field tap. Can I test the field tap? Hey, do I need a VMIS? We have to be proactive here, Craig.
I don't know what field tap is. I'm not a producer. I don't know what those things are. I'm talent.
Well, I would like to remind everybody that December morning when I was awoken by a phone call from the Sunday Karma program asking me to join said Sunday Karma program, what was my offer, Craig? I offered a specific position that I could provide to this program. What did I offer?
I thought you could bring producing and a level of professionalism behind the glass that we haven't had.
Yeah, and how did you and Kyle respond to said offer for me?
I thought it was a great offer until Kyle, you know, basically said he did not feel comfortable relinquishing his producing position and wanted to stay as a producer and not move to a host role.
Yeah, I'm just confused. What did the producer do so bad today?
The host of this program on the phone, and it sounds awful.
Well, because the VMix stuff is crazy. You know, it didn't work
Kyle,
right. I got it fixed, though.
Let me just read this to you on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Michael, the only text we received this morning, Kyle. Your show sucks. Bye.
Oh, well, you know.
That's the level of producing you're doing this
morning. You know, if we would have been in the studio, we would have been fine. I got it figured out. I won't throw you under the bus, Strofe, but I got it figured out.
The hell did I do?
I got the back feed figured out.
Okay. Meaning what?
So are you saying I should go on the VMix?
You could You could go on the VMix, Craig.
Okay, I'm going to hang up. We'll see how this goes. We will see how this goes. I'm about to hang up.
Craig?
Oh. Do you hear me?
Yeah, the connection is pretty bad, isn't it, Strofe?
It's horrible.
But there's no feedback, is there? There's no feedback.
The feedback's gone. I'll give you credit.
You know, a blind squirrel can find a nut once in
Does
a while.
Does he live in the middle of the of Lake Michigan?
He may.
What is this internet connection?
I'm more concerned if a tree goes down. Yeah, wait a minute, Craig. You are too rich to have this level of internet connection.
Internet connection. What you're talking about?
You can't make this up. You can't make this up. All right, I think we have Craig now. I think his internet has been, reconnected to the 21st century. Talk
this
to
has
me.
Nothing to do with my internet. My internet is excellent.
Okay, now, right, now it is.
It's all right, good I now. Think all we, right.
11 minutes into the show, guys. Nice job. It's really good. Really good. I apologize Woo! For losing my cool there at the top of the show.
Woo! Yeah. I just float through, skate through. But we got a lot of great things to talk about. Jason Wilde's joining us early today.
Is my video still frozen? Because it looks like
Oh my gosh! I'm just gonna turn them off. I don't know what to say, Strove. The internet's bad. His internet's choppy. His video's frozen. Internet's bad.
All right, my goal this year is to make this into a respected program. Because look, if there was a comeback story to be had, it would be the comeback story of a lifetime. This is an absolute embarrassment to this wonderful company that Craig Karmazin has built.
Can I just say, I did let the team know. I am such a good producer. I said, why is it snowing? So I gave everybody a good heads up.
You said, why is it snowing?
I said, why is it snowing? I made sure everybody who was supposed to be on this show, Greg Scalzo, he's not going to be free from this because Greg Scalzo is on the list of work today. He's talking about he's out of town. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, Well, I'm the only one who can keep this thing on track because we have Jason Wilde coming up at 10:15.
Oh, you're the only one that can
stay
keep
on
track.
Schedule. Let's stay on schedule here because it's the heart of free agency, and let's get a temperature on the Green Bay Packers with Jason Wilde. We also have a great mystery guest coming up at 11 o'clock. This is the best worst show you are going to hear today. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Let it snow.
Technical difficulties continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin, Alex Strove, Kyle Wallace, quasi Craig Karmazin with you. Joining us now, he is the 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is the co-host of Wilde and Tash weekdays from 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. The great Jason Wilde joins us on this snowy Sunday Karma. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys, and great musical choice by Kyle.
Do not give him any credit right now, Jason.
Unsolicited.
Do not give him any credit. It has been a bleep show, the early goings of Sunday Karma on this Sunday, due to our lack of competent producers. So I would appreciate if you actually stayed away from credit for Kyle today.
Well, I can't speak for the other work he's doing, but the music is perfect. We're in Cedarburg for a gymnastics meet. Maddie competed here on Friday, and it was 70 degrees outside. Today, when I have to do a radio hit, it is snowing fairly heavily here in beautiful Cedarburg. So, gotta love Wisconsin weather.
Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks, the names that will come to Green Bay after free agency opened this week. Really nice piece by you in channel3000.com this morning, Jason. You caught up with another cornerback who formerly wore 21 for the Green Bay Packers, which is what Nate Hobbs will wear. Charles Woodson weighing in on the former Raider joining Green Bay. What were your big takeaways from your conversation with my favorite Packer of all time?
Yeah, well, one thing that I always love it when I have an excuse to talk to Charles because he's one of my all-time favorites and he's so good about being generous with his time. I don't think we can expect Nate Hobbs to be as productive as the last Raider turned Packers cornerback.
Keyshawn Nixon
was, but Keyshawn Nixon, that might be a more realistic bar, and who knows, they might be pairing the two of them up together as their outside corners when they start the 25 season. We'll have to wait and see on that. But, you know, what I thought was great about Charles is that he actually is familiar with Nate Hobbs. He watched him play. He paid very close attention to the Raiders and to the Packers. And, you know, he talked a little bit about his game and set the expectation bar at wanting to see him do a Lambeau leap, which would obviously require him scoring a defensive touchdown. Charles Woodson scored 10 of those during his Packers career. So one would be good for Nate Hobbs to start.
So, Jason, was this whole like 2 weeks of Davante Adams, Myles Garrett, like, is this just like us in sports media and as fans talking preposterous stuff? Like, was there no chance the Packers were going to make any kind of meaningful, like, big picture splash? And I'm not talking about something that'll impact the season, because I think we know the acquisition you were just talking about will, but in terms of like those big splashes, were those never going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, these two acquisitions are not big splashes. I mean, they're just not. They're solid pickups at positions of need. Secondly, you know, I think the answer to your question is both yes and no, because Davante Adams, I can tell you, was authentically interested in returning to the Packers. It wasn't the only thing he wanted. It wasn't the only option he was going to have, but it was certainly something that he wanted to at least explore. And, you know, and Strofe has heard me say this. This was my biggest concern as we spent as much airtime as we did talking about Davante Adams. And I said it multiple times. I don't know if Goody wants him or not. And so while it made perfect sense to me and many, many others, and it was definitely something that Davante wanted to explore, it turns out Goody never had any interest. And that's the one thing about this job, that when it comes to something like that, you know, and I tried, right? Strofe bullied me into texting Goody to try and get an answer, so I knew whether to keep talking about it, and Goody didn't respond. But I always had this inkling in the back of my mind that was, Goody's not even interested in him because he's 32 years old, because he moved on from him once before. And so my struggle with that was, it made a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense to Davante. It made a lot of sense given where their wide receiver depth chart is at. And yet Goody never even reached out a single time to Frank Bauer, his agent, or to Davante directly. So that tells you that it was never going to happen when the GM had no interest.
So does this mean that wide receiver is now a given, that it's a priority in the draft?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I really do. And Tausch and I had this conversation during the week last week. I really think this offense is going to go through the tight ends and Josh Jacobs. And I really think that Matt LaFleur will spend the offseason. And I'm not saying they won't throw balls to the wide receivers, obviously. But if you go out and get a Davante Adams, or if you make the DK Metcalf trade, that is a very different dynamic for your offense. And they didn't do those things. They were never in on Cooper Kupp, it appears. And so what they plan on doing is running it back with that wide receiver group, maybe adding a second day or third day wide receiver, because I don't envision them breaking the streak of not drafting a wide receiver in the first round for 20-plus years. But they add somebody on the second or third day. That person is added to the mix. And they still want to see Jaden Reed make a big jump. They still want to see Dontavian Wicks make a big jump. They still want, you know, Romeo Doubs to have a bounce back season after his suspension and after the two concussions. And they still want Christian Watson to get back in time for the back half of the season. And they think that that's a pretty good group. And they're going to cross their fingers and hope that those guys stay healthy. But, you know, this was not a good free agency period for wide receivers. And the guys that are still left out there, maybe they pick one up on kind of one of those one-year prove-it deals. But I think that's probably unlikely. It's more likely that they stick with what they've got and hope that the development from within and the offensive focus being on Jacobs and Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave is an effective way to go.
Strophy and Kyle, give us your top five sadness of people who you wish the Packers had gone after in this free agency slash trade slash time. And I feel like it's all receivers and rush ends, but give the top five in order of who you're most sad about that they're not on the Packers right now.
We're not dead yet, though. Not dead yet. Trey Hendrickson is still available.
Because I feel like you two speak for all Packers fans when I hear you guys, your sadness about things. All right, who's the top five from Strophy and Kyle here?
All right, no particular order. Well, particular order with the first name. Devontae Adams is atop that list. He's number one.
So that's more than Myles Garrett.
Yes. It's okay. It's yeah, it is. Max Crosby, two. Myles Garrett, three. Josh Sweat would have been interesting, who wound up in Arizona.
Though, so no DK Metcalf?
No, when I saw the price tag for that, I was good that they didn't go after him. And then, believe it or not, I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling might make the list.
Oh, come on. Debo, how about Debo Samuel for redundant. Like a fourth-round pick?
You've got Jaden Reed. That'd be redundant.
All right, Kyle, who you got?
Well, everything not MVS, but for me, overall, it's obviously like Strophy. It starts with Devontae Adams. Should have went after Devontae Adams. Trey Henderson is still out there. You can go after him. I would have loved Myles Garrett, but I guess they were just playing the game of money chicken where he was saying he wasn't going to come back, but he actually was going to come back. DK Metcalf is definitely somebody I would have wanted for the Green Bay Packers. And then I like the Josh Sweat thing, but there's some – I insert
– no Cooper Kupp love from you guys?
No.
The Cooper Kupp,
he's not high on my list.
This is a guy who could still be productive, and you could teach all these receivers how to play the game.
I like that, but that wasn't – that's not my type five. I just would have – taken any type of – defensive lineman that had some type of future, right? Like, or a young emerging type talent. So a Josh Sweat type of guy, the kid that they end up getting, Deo, that they end up getting for the Chicago Bears, somebody that maybe could have emerged as an up and coming talent. But the Green Bay Packers added nothing to that defensive line or that front seven, which is a little shocking so far, but you still have the draft.
Jason, I was doing the math. I think it's like one out of 31 divide, like times one out of 30. So like the possibilities of this thing are like infinitesimal, that Aaron Rodgers could actually track on the exact Brett Favre path, right? To go to the Jets and then to go to the Vikings. Like mathematically, it is virtually impossible. Yet that is what Aaron Rodgers, we are to be led, is trying to do right now. He's trying to do exactly what Brett Favre did in terms of going Packers, Jets, and then go to the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think is happening, and what do you think will happen?
Yeah, I was told there would be no math, but this is proof that analytics don't always work, because you're right, the odds of him following the exact career arc. Now, in fairness, he didn't go to the Jets as a stopover before getting to the team he wanted to go to. And people forget this, that during the offseason of 2008, he wanted to go straight to the Vikings. He never wanted to come back and be the Packers starter in 2008. He wanted to force the Packers to release him so he could go directly to the Vikings. That was his game plan the entire time. So don't lose sight of that, because that also was what led to the vitriol and hatred of Ted, that he didn't let that happen. He put the poison pill in the trade to the Jets that said that the Jets would owe the Packers three first-round picks if they traded Favre subsequently to an NFC North team. So don't lose sight of that. That's the one difference here, is that in Rodgers' case, he went to the Jets thinking, this is going to be Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. They're going to do what I want them to do. I'm going to have the success that he had. I'm going to go win them a Super Bowl for the first time since Joe Namath. So he didn't go there intending it to be a stopover between Green Bay and Minnesota. But as you guys know, I am all in on him going to Minnesota. Just like I want Caleb Williams to be good to make the Packers-Bears rivalry interesting. Talk about interesting. I mean, the idea of Rodgers ending up in Minnesota, I didn't think it was going to happen. I figured they were all in on J.J. McCarthy and that would be the end of it. And now it's starting to look like at least a possibility based on Diana Rossini's reporting.
And do you think this is now about literally getting Rodgers to agree that he will step aside graciously when they're ready for him to? Like, because this is a delicate balance, right? When you're still talking about your first round pick, who you want to be able to come in on your timetable, not on Aaron Rodgers' timetable.
Yeah, and look, I don't know if he, and I, humbled is maybe not the right word, but given the way things played out in Minnesota, and I haven't talked or texted with him for several weeks, but one of the questions I would have for him is, how if he goes to Minnesota, is he going to do things differently, right? I mean, because don't forget, and if you watched Hard Knocks that first year that he was there before he ruptured his Achilles, he seemed to be, in his own way, kind of acknowledging that he had done everything wrong in 2022 with how he handled that Packers team with those young guys. Like, he seemed much more dedicated to the idea of being the mentor and being the fun Uncle Aaron. And that's not what he did, you know, in 2022 when they drafted Watson and Dobbs and Samari Toure. So, you know, I don't know what his mentality will be if he ends up there. But I will say this, from at least from what I've been told, like, the Steelers do want him. And the holdup here is obviously that when you look at his options, the Vikings are more appealing, right? I mean, this is the question I asked Strofe during the week, are DK Metcalf and George Pickens, do they seem like the kind of precision players at wide receiver that Rodgers would prefer? I would argue no.
No, but when you look at Justin Jefferson and the way he runs routes,
correct,
that would be an unbelievable spot for Aaron to land. Exactly. Jason, we know you are in Cedarburg, as you mentioned, got things going on. We appreciate you jumping on, and wow, fascinating to see where things go with Aaron Rodgers. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, guys. Thanks for accommodating me. Take care. Be good.
Yeah. All right. There is Jason Wilde. How is that emotionally for y'all? Are you already over Aaron so much? I feel like, Kyle, you got to the point where you didn't care. Like, him in a Vikings jersey, I feel like that won't hurt as much as Favre in a Vikings jersey, but where are you emotionally on that?
I want him to come. I want him to come because it gives us two times to whoop his behind. That's what I really want. Not ducking no smoke. I want Aaron Rodgers to come on to Minnesota and ruin that organization that actually has really, really good offensive weapons. Like, they're good. They're talented.
They stocked up in free agency. That's a good team. And obviously, that's a team that won 13 or 14, 13 games last year. So,
What'd they stock up on?
They got a center and a guard.
I know they kept Aaron Jones.
They got a center and a guard, and then they also fortified the defensive line. So the front.
They got some D line, and then they got some defensive back help as well, because they brought one of their guys back. And then
Byron Murphy.
And yeah, they re-signed Byron Murphy, and then they signed that corner from Indianapolis, Rodgers. I'm blanking on his first name. They were active in free agency. Obviously, you mentioned they have the best receiver in football on top of an up-and-comer in Jordan Addison.
And Jordan Addison's better than any receiver in the Packers roster.
I would agree.
And it's not even close.
I would agree.
The Packers could have had him.
I would agree. Yep, I agree. And obviously, some familiarity for Rodgers with Aaron Jones in the backfield. So, but
T.J. Hockenson?
It's a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He's going to ruin that team from the inside out, so I'd love to see it.
Wait. So you would rather have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback this year than J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I feel like this will be a year. This will be a bump in the road type year.
Yeah, I tend to agree no matter who the quarterback is, because if those are your options, that means you don't have an answer at quarterback.
But also, I think JJ could be the answer, but also if Aaron Rodgers plays really, really well, think about it. Remember, Brett Favre went there, he played well for year one, year two, went downhill. If Aaron Rodgers plays really, really well, you think they're going to transition over to JJ McCarthy?
You think they'd run it back with a 42-year-old?
I think they have to.
They would.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to go down the hill. He could move last year. Now, granted, he's coming off a Achilles injury, but it's going to be even harder for him to come back and actually have a full healthy season.
He was moving by the end of the year, man. He was moving.
Oh, mobility's gone.
All right.
No, he was not.
All right.
Yes, he was. You could look at the advanced analytics, AWS, Amazon, next-gen stats. He was moving toward the end of the year. I got access to some of those next gen stats.
Okay, so he was doing his best Lamar Jackson impression, is what you're saying?
Your guy was moving. Look, you want to pull up his numbers from the last game of the year? Was anyone still focused on the Jets last game?
When they were 6-11 or 6-10 entering that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what?
A lot on the line.
You want to know? Oh, what? Because Aaron, because there's pressure, he was playing better because there was no pressure. No, how about the fact that he was that age and still playing? You want to know what those numbers were?
Aaron Rodgers got sacked 3 times in the last game of the season last year. He got sacked 4 times a week before that.
Give us his numbers. Wait, give us his numbers.
It doesn't matter. He got sacked 3. He got sacked 7 times in 2 weeks.
Give us his passing numbers and his rushing numbers.
All right, well, passing, he was 23 for 37, 274, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception in the game against the Miami Dolphins. That was a win, 32-20. The game against Buffalo got sacked 4 times.
Four touchdowns, 1 interception. Did he run the ball at all?
He did not. 0 rushes.
Okay, so 4 touchdowns, 1 interception.
But he was moving.
He was moving. Craig, I'm just going to tell
moving.
You. I'm going to tell
check
you.
Check out the next gen stats.
I'm just telling you this right now. I love Aaron Rodgers, and I think he can be a plus for the Minnesota Vikings. But also, I think he's going to be a big negative because you cannot change who you are in your 40s.
That's the problem I'm having. Because look, I'd be fine with him in Minnesota. To Craig's point, it wouldn't hurt like Favre did. That one was a
that
punch in the gut. Right. That was a stinger.
He was playing with our emotions.
This one wouldn't be. As much, just because we've seen what he's been post-Green Bay, and really even you can count as last year in Green Bay where they missed the playoffs. However,
by the way, so you're saying that, Alex, based on his ability, which you could have said the same thing about Favre after that Jets season because he had started hot.
Yeah. Well, he got injured,
didn't look
though.
Good.
No, he injured his thumb. Right, remember, he played
he came
hurt.
Back. Yep. Then he came back with the Vikings and had his arguably best season right. of his career,
totally.
If you look at it statistically.
Totally. And is the potential there for Rodgers to have a great season with the weapons around him? Of course. But I would rather him go to a Pittsburgh or a Giants or whoever so I could actually still root for him. If he's a Viking, I can't root for him.
No, I mean, if he does fine, I'm fine with it. I just know how it's going to end. It's not going to end in a Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers. It's just not. Aaron Rodgers has shown us, and I love me some Aaron Rodgers, but he has shown us in the biggest moments late in his career, he did not shine. He didn't shine bright at all. In the 49ers game, the Packers did not lose because the defense didn't step up. The Packers lost because the offense could do absolutely nothing. Nothing. I mean, special teams.
I mean, the block punt.
No,
help.
No, but the 1 touchdown didn't help either. Like, you're supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. You're supposed to be Devontae
Adams.
You're supposed to be able to get us up some type of points. The defense that we talked about, which was the Achilles heel, no pun intended, of the Green Bay Packers football team, was actually the thing that kept us alive, kept us afloat. But Aaron Rodgers could not get it done with his favorite wide receiver in Devontae Adams. And so I just see, again, Aaron Rodgers just is not going to win another Super Bowl. So him going to Minnesota will be a key story.
Here are the seven players who had a worse QBR than Aaron Rodgers this past year. And I know some people argue with me that QBR is not the best stat. I think it is. Here's who was worse than Aaron Rodgers this year. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew, and Will Levis. Those were the only players worse than Aaron Rodgers in QBR this past year.
Well, that's not very good.
That's terrible.
That's a bunch of guys that aren't going to be starters next year.
And a guy that was hurt.
Right? Caleb Williams and Dak Prescott are the only two guaranteed starters.
And Dak was hurt.
List. Yeah.
And Caleb Williams is a rookie.
I mean, so he was close to C.J. Stroud, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, Bryce Young, Jameis Winston.
Wait a minute. So most
of those are the players he was close to.
So most of those guys on that list, C.J.'s going to be starting again. But then you have
two guys that are going to get or got bench / will be backups, and a third guy who
moving teams.
Well, Jameis Winston is a backup,
and Russell Wilson's moving teams.
Right. That's what I was referring to.
So basically, C.J. Stroud is the only guy in that mix, right? So Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, and CJ Stroud are the only people in that bottom 14 or so of the league. And by the way, if you go above that, it's Drake May and Bo Nix. So it's two other guys who were playing as rookies for the first time.
Ugh.
Yucky.
So that's understandable why you guys would feel that way about Aaron Rodgers, but you also mentioned it. Last year was the year coming off of that injury. So,
but he could still move though, right, Craig?
The question
40
to 30. The question is age worse or is coming off the injury worse, right? Because it's another year of age, but it's another year of coming off that injury. So I think that's the big question.
Yeah, all the above, probably. You know, might he look a little bit better this year than he did a year ago? Maybe. But I just, it's not vintage Rodgers. We don't have the MVP on the field anymore.
At Jacksonville, December 15th, 6 carries, 45 yards, including an 18-yarder. Next gen stats. Look out, baby. All right, we got to talk about the Bucks. They have the Thunder coming into town. It's wild what's going on in the NBA right now. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
This ain't my first way. Certified everywhere. Ain't got a printed resume. Take off. Talk to Craig.
crazy. I pull it's up Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Public service
announcement. Continuing on Sunday Karma, a big day in the state of Wisconsin as the Oklahoma City Thunder come into town. Fresh off the Bucks defeating the Indiana Pacers last night. If you check out ESPN.com right now or the ESPN app, you'll see Jamal Collier's article about Kyle Kuzma and the impact he is or is not making on the Milwaukee Bucks. You'll see that this team is back to 10 games over 500. Kyle, how you feeling about your Milwaukee Bucks?
I'm feeling good about the Bucks, actually. I'm feeling really confident that the Milwaukee Bucks have an opportunity. It's good that the Pacers gained, right? The Pacers had a miracle three-pointer and one, so they had a four-point play at the end in Indiana. And it just seems like the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be, if they're healthy, they're better equipped to beat the Pacers in seven than what they were last year. So whether or not we get the four seed or the five seed, if we take on the Pacers in the first round, I really believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo being one of the best players in the world is the difference maker on top of the fact that you have Dame. So I actually feel much more confident. I don't know what to think of the Cavaliers. All I know is they're really, 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 really good. I guess my only hope is the fact that they're also, you know, a young team that hasn't won anything yet. And so you're going to have maybe if we get through round one, if we have to match up with them in round two, you're talking about a team that is trying to prove that they can be a championship team versus a team that has, you know, a guy in Giannis that has won a championship. So that's what it's really up against. History and a great player versus a team that is really, really good. So
and a team that's been historically good, right? In the Cavs, they've had two 15-game winning streaks, including the 16-game winning streak they're on now, including that win at Fiserv Forum last Sunday night. Strophy, where are you at with the Bucks?
Well, the Cavs are so well-balanced, which is what makes them difficult. But I'm high on the Bucks, Craig. I mean, it was kind of a BS loss to Indiana the other night, so it was nice to get their lick back, if you will, last night at Fiserv Forum. I've been really impressed with all the trade deadline acquisitions, not necessarily even from a scoring perspective, but some of the energy and defensive prowess that a guy like Jericho Sims has provided off the bench.
Jumpman, as he said he wants to be called.
That guy's got like a million-inch vertical. He should teach me his ways. I mean,
he is on the court, the Bucks have the best defense in the NBA.
Agree.
Since his time here, like just mathematically and statistically, so, when Jericho Sims is on the court, that's how good the defense.
Well, will he play in a playoff?
I was just about to ask: does he take minutes away from Bobby Portis? Has he earned that down through this stretch? Because we've got Bobby back in about 3 weeks, towards the end of the regular season. And Doc will obviously have to play with the lineup a little bit. But that's the thing, Kyle. I don't think you're right on that. I think Jericho Sims has earned big-time minutes. And I'm not saying 25 minutes a night off the bench by any means. Can he get 10, 11, 12 minutes in a postseason run? I think so.
What we've seen in the past, though, Strofe, and Craig, you can speak on this, is usually all of a sudden what we see guys playing during the regular season and you get to the playoffs.
Right, you only go 7 or 8 deep.
Yeah,
right.
The Bucks have never acquired someone like Jericho Sims, and I think the thought was someone like that might not make sense next to Giannis, and I still think there's questions of if that works with Giannis. Last night, an interesting example. He was 0-for-0 shooting from the field, only had one rebound in the game, and in his 11 minutes, the Bucks were plus 18.
Yeah, one assist, right? one rebound. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so, I mean, he is a guy who does that. Now, what I wonder is you're talking about taking minutes from Bobby Portis. What I wonder is, are there certain situations where he takes minutes from Brook Lopez, right? Because there's times where having his athleticism defensively, you know, may help. Now, without Brook Lopez's floor spacing, you wonder, can that really work in the playoffs, right? If you have Giannis and Jericho Sims on the court at the same time, will that allow a defense to pack it in, and can you really win in the postseason? So I think there's serious questions on how that works in the postseason. I also think Kyle Kuzma hasn't fully like clicked offensively. I think he's still getting used to not touching the ball that much, but he also has proven defensively that he can do just about anything on the court. Like, he's covering point guards, he's covering centers.
Yeah.
He's really been versatile. And then you got Kevin Porter Jr., who has clicked offensively, right? Like, he's a guy who has shown he could hit threes. He's a guy who could drive. He's a guy who had a triple-double. So, right, he shows he could be a playmaker. I mean, this guy has not shot threes for a while, but he's back to being Houston, you know, Kevin Porter, where he's almost scoring a point a minute some nights.
What did you tell me when we went to the game a couple weeks ago against the Clippers? You said when it came to KPJ, irrational confidence, which is necessary as a professional athlete.
And especially because, you know, you look at teams, and this time of year, you're going to see the Thunder tonight. They're going to be experimenting a bunch. The Thunder are experimenting with different lineups. Like, should they go big with, you know, with Holmgren and Hartenstein playing together? Like, should they go small? Like, they have all these different things to figure out. And when you think about the Bucks, they're figuring out that the most important thing is the minutes that Giannis and Dame are on the court together. So if you're going to maximize those two guys on the court together, then how the heck are you going to pull off the minutes that they're off the court? And the way you're going to do it is by having someone like KPJ who's not looking around for somebody else to be the difference maker, who feels that he can be that. Mm-hmm. And again, 19 minutes, 16 points last night, he was plus 13. Gary Trent was plus 23 in his 23 minutes. So we're seeing guys come in off the bench, AJ Green, right? Porter Jr., Trent Jr., Jericho Sims, who are coming in confident, and the Bucks are playing well off the bench.
So can the Bucks learn something from what their downfall was a year ago, right? Because I think that the common knock on the Bucks' first round loss to the Pacers was that they were old and slow and didn't have the bench.
No, come on. That might be the knock, but
injured.
Kyle and I will both tell you.
Well, right. I know they were hurt. Of course I know that. But the Pacers, when everybody saw the way they handled business against the Bucks last year, was, well, they've got a deep bench, they're young, they're athletic, they're fast. And it seems like the Bucks have injected a little bit of that into their lineup here post-trade deadline with Kuzma and KPJ and Jericho Sims. The speed, the youth, they can go deeper on their bench to their point with guys like AJ Green and Gary Trent Jr. And obviously getting Bobby back, he'll fill a role off the bench. Like, it seems like, yes, I understand when you get into a postseason, you have to tighten up your rotation and you only get, you know, two, three, four tops deep on the bench. But maybe there's a case to be made that some of these role players could get maybe not significant minutes, but 8, 9, 10 minutes a pop in the postseason to keep the legs a little bit fresher for guys like Brooke Lopez or even a Giannis and Dame in some scenarios. So I'm intrigued by these additions, and seemingly they've worked out. Now, that loss to Orlando last week is still a little bothersome, but it's in the rearview mirror now, because if you get a win tonight, I think you put yourself in a really nice position.
I mean, are the Bucks going to go full go back-to-back nights?
They did last week when they were home Saturday, Sunday. We'll see if they do it again this week.
I guess they're still fighting for something, because at some point you're going to have to kind of
wind it down. You could take last week's example, right? You play Orlando, who's in the play-in, at least they were at the time, last Saturday. You have everybody go, and then you host the top team in the Eastern Conference Sunday. Everybody plays. Now this week you play an Indiana team who you just lost tragically to earlier in the week, and now you have the best team in the Western Conference coming to town. So I would imagine, just like last week, they're going to handle it similarly. Where Giannis plays, Dame plays, and there's no minutes restriction.
Oh, because you had the Lakers game, you had the Pacers game. I mean, it's just a lot of games in a short period of time. And at the end of the day, how much I want this team to find, and it seems like they're finding the rhythm, they're finding themselves. I think Gary Trent Jr. might be the key piece. If he hits threes in the playoffs, that can be a huge difference.
Well,
for the Milwaukee
Bucks. I saw a stat today, Kyle. It's actually much worse for the Thunder. This is since the All-Star break, they've only had
three. Thunder are like your average age.
Correct. They're super young, but they've only had three full rest nights at home since the All-Star break. Otherwise, they've been traveling or back-to-backs or whatever.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. The Bucks don't have another back-to-back until April.
Wow.
So they play literally every other night until April 5th. So they play tonight, then they're off a night. Then they play off. So that's every other night they are going to play, starting tonight, which is the back end of a back-to-back, through April 5th. So that includes a flight out to San Francisco to play Golden State on Tuesday, right? Then the short trip to LA on Thursday, then the short trip to Sacramento Saturday, then Coach Bud and Durant short trip on Monday, then, you know, the short trip to Denver on Wednesday.
So that's
it's not terrible, those short trips. It's literally every other day. Then they fly back for a home game against the Knicks, then a day off, and then the Hawks, then a day off, and then Coach Bud and the Suns here, then a day off, and they fly to Philadelphia for the Sixers, then a day off, and they're in Miami. So it's literally every other day they're going to be playing. So today's going to be really interesting, because I agree, it's a lot like last Sunday, right? Can they show up against the best team in the conference? Last week, they were competitive against the Cavs, but couldn't win. So, all right, we got to keep things moving, right? Because we got a 7-11 coming up. We have a lot to get to still. So should we? We'll keep this thing moving. Are you guys excited for your 7-11?
Yes.
I would just say I'm ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic.
So the way 7-11 works, by the way, we have a two-pronged 7-11. We have a 7-11 where we're going to have a mystery guest who's going to come in. Y'all are going to try to guess who it is.
Okay.
You have to get it in less than seven no's when you're guessing yes, no questions to see who it is. And then once we get the person, I actually have a list of seven that I'm going to have you and the mystery guest try to complete together.
Okay, I have so many questions on the other side for you, Craig.
It's a double 7-11.
Yeah, let's dive into some of the rules coming up next, Craig, because I've got questions.
Which is coming up next. It's coming up kind of next. It's coming up penultimate next on Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
What you got?
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, here we go. You guys need a little refresher on these rules, Pachoki. What's going on with the 7-11 here?
I mean, it's been solid, I would argue. When you've been here, at least. We did not do one last week with you out.
Yep.
So
we've had everything from me being Rashad Vaughn to Eric Metcalf.
Yes.
To George Sedano.
Yep.
To who else have we had? Oh, yeah. Thanasis
was
awesome.
We had Thanasis last time. Yep. Last time was Thanasis, which he, as always, is great. Hey, you were sitting right by him last night. He was bringing the juice, huh?
Two games in a row, Thanasis has been there. It seems the Bucks rarely lose when Thanasis is in the house. I was a little upset at Thanasis on Thursday night, though.
Because he wasn't there or what?
No. Like, it just felt like the Bucks were going to beat the Lakers. And then all of a sudden, Thanasis started, like, talking to Luka. And then all of a sudden, Luka started just going crazy. And I'm like, T.A., with this roster that the Lakers have, the only way they could win is if Luka goes crazy.
Sure.
And he's only going to go crazy if he like finds someone to stare down after every basket. And T.A. was like, no, we're going to win by 20. It's fine. He's my little brother. I could say whatever
I want. He's my little brother.
I was like, T.A., don't do this to us. Don't do it. And he kept making shots. But I guess T.A. was right.
Who had more juice last night? Was it T.A. or was it Dr. Dave, who were sitting like right by each other? They were both jumping up after every basket. Like two of the most electric
Dr. Dave,
Bucks fans in the world.
Who's known for like waving his hand up, and getting the crowd going. It was a good mix. Like T.A. is like, the thing is like every player listens to T.A. during the game, like from both teams. So that's why it's fascinating because I'm like, actually even the referee stopped at one point and he was like, I was going to say, who's talking all this nonsense behind me? And now I see it's you. Like he like stopped to say that to Thanasis like during the game. So it's pretty awesome. All right. So 7-11, here's how it works. You do not know. So make sure you're not looking at the caller ID.
I covered it up already.
Okay. So when the person calls in, you will ask exclusively yes or no questions. And you have six no's to be able to figure out who this mystery guest is. Then hopefully, you don't embarrass. And by the way, if you don't know the person and you get it wrong, don't worry. The person might be a little insulted, but like, just go with
that
it.
Is
and then
why
we'll,
I hate. That is why this game. I don't want to say I hate it because it is fun, but it's uncomfortable. Because what if I don't know who you are?
Right.
Like I didn't know
that could be the case.
I didn't know
that
Metcalf,
could be the case.
Eric Metcalf.
Oh, Eric Metcalf.
I didn't
know
who that was.
Yeah, you did not know Eric Metcalf, Kyle?
No, Craig. He only played a couple games with the Green Bay Packers. That was young.
Yeah. I'm saying exactly. So you may not know this person, and that's fine. So just go with the flow and know that if I have someone coming on, it means they'll add value to what we do here.
So there's
right?
probably
that's,
somebody
that's
who
do.
Played in like the
1990s. Hold on a minute. Craig just said, if I'm having somebody on, they will be of value. Craig, do you firmly believe that what you just said is true?
Yes. I mean, Rashad Vaughn as me added a lot of value to the show.
And Craig,
so I'm very
by the way, that was the
that.
Same show we spent a half an hour on Dirty Al Gallagher. So,
lots of value. Anyone who did not
know,
listen can go
really
back on Wisconsin On Demand.
Of what value is, but I'll
Craig, really quick,
I'll take you at your word.
I do want to know. So you said that after we figure out who this is, then you're going to ask them seven questions about what?
No, no, no. Then I have a 7-11, like old school 7-11 for the three of you together to try to guess.
This segment is going to take until 11:45.
So does this person know how to play 7-11 or no? Did you already
know? No, if I say guess the answer to this question, they'll be able to guess.
Yeah, that one's pretty simple.
They don't realize they get one guess.
All right, it's 11:03. Go to break.
All right.
Okay, mystery guest 7-11 next. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.